Welcome to this week's sermon from Heights Worship Center. We believe God has something for you today. We hope this message encourages and inspires you.
Hallelujah. Today is Pentecost Sunday. When you say Pentecost Sunday, it's 50 days after the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. They had a celebration, you know, of the feast in Jerusalem, and that's where the Lord has chosen for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit. So in a big festival, it's almost like an LA fair. Could you imagine if there will be an outpouring of the Holy Spirit in LA fair? Nobody would miss it, okay, to see how God has brought in his wonderful grace of experiencing power. And so with that, we would want to say that the Lord has been doing a lot of work in many restricted countries. As much as we are free here in America, there are other countries that they would meet in homes, they would meet in the forest, in the desert. And some of the unique way that the church is meeting, they would rent a bus and drive to the desert, worship in the desert, and go back to the city. How's that for a church? A bus church, right? Just many different creative ways when they are not free to worship. Why? There is a hunger and the Holy Spirit stirring their hearts to continually seek God and be able to know him more. So today, as pastor, we keep remembering our team in Peru, okay, in prayer. We're going to lift them up in prayer. But today, on the day of Pentecost, we would just want to say, God, you can do it again. God, you can do it again, because it is only by the power of the Holy Spirit that the ultimate way of being able to reach the lost and preach the gospel, as we are being told, is with the empowerment of the Holy Spirit. And today we're going to see what happened after the Pentecost, okay? When we look at scripture and look at what are the rest of the activities or events that took place when the Holy Spirit has come, you know, we will be amazed. So turn your Bibles again to chapter 2, verse 37 on down. We'll just go verse by verse in this paragraph to see. But to set the setting, as Pastor Don has preached, you know, the whole series, they were all together in one place, in one accord. They all got filled with the same Spirit, and they all spoke the heavenly language all together. All right, and with that, they were saying, scripture says, they were speaking the wonderful works of God. And so they were talking to God, and they were giving back the glory to God and saying, God, you're awesome, you're great. And people gathered, and when the people gathered, they say, oh, it's too early in the morning to get drunk. But no, Peter stood up and preached. And we're going to pick it up right there in verse 37 to 38. So after Pentecost, what happened? Now, so we can do it again. I just kind of like put together four things that why God can do it again, because we can turn to God, we can turn to God's word, we can turn to the church, and we can turn to the Lord's table. So when we put the whole paragraph together, these are the four divisions. This is the way when you study systematically, verse by verse, you begin to see how the grouping and the thought and the thread, the silver thread of the thought of the Holy Spirit, when you read the whole paragraph. So here we go with the first few verses, 37 and 38. If we want the Holy Spirit and God to do it again, we have to turn to God. The song today was perfect. Give me Jesus. There is no other place, no other name. Hallelujah. We have to point the world for them to be able to know, see Jesus and know him more. So here we go. Peter's words pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, brothers, what should we do? Peter replied, each of you must repent of your sins and turn to God. Everybody say, turn to God. You know, in CEF, they say a word up. So the word up today is on this paragraph is what? One more time. Word up? Yeah. If we desire the Holy Spirit to be poured out again, we keep telling people to turn to God. There is no government. There is no system. There is no economy. There is nothing in the system of this world that will meet the needs of the people, not unless they will turn to God. So what happened when they preached the word? Their hearts were pierced. Their hearts not only was touched, but the word of God so penetrated that we can see that the scripture, and Peter said, it's time to repent of our sins. There has to be a turnaround in being able to see, you know, what God can do for them. On the preaching of Peter, if you want to summarize, it's about the crucifixion and the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the theme of his preaching after Pentecost. And as a result, you could see how many of them were baptized and received the Lord. But in order to see Pentecost happen, so they did not wait for another anniversary. Hello? We didn't really have to wait. So when the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, they kept going with what the Lord is telling them to do for the purpose that the Holy Spirit was given. So Peter preached, and Pastor Don said he denied Jesus, Peter. He was so fearful, and yet he's the first one who stood up and be able to talk about the resurrected Christ. So with this, we turn people to tell people to repent of their sin, ask God's forgiveness, and meaning to say that this time of the year, as Heights Worship Center declared 2025, bold. Be bold to preach the gospel. Second, Peter also told them and say not only that they have to repent, but they also need to be baptized in the name of Jesus. So their repentance has an outward testimony of water baptism. Today is not only Pentecost Sunday, but today is also Baptize America. Meaning to say there are thousands of churches all over the United States today that open their doors and say, anyone in the community who want to follow Jesus as Lord and Savior and you want to be baptized, be baptized. So when you go online and go to the Baptize America, you and put your address and your zip code, you would see churches that had opened today. And so we opened Heights Worship Center for water baptism, and we have one, but maybe we have two or three. I told anybody yet who's not baptized in water, you can go home wet and change at home. But hey, we will not deny you. Remember the Ethiopian eunuch? They were touring the roads during those days when they saw the water and say, here's water, let's get baptized. And boom, they went on right away. And so we would not withhold anybody not being able to do a public testimony. Salvation was an inner work and conviction of the power of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God. But there was an outward testimony of following Jesus by having a public water baptism, you know, before the people to witness your following Jesus. So in the same way, we can see there was the inner work of the Holy Spirit, and there has to be an outward manifestation of the gifts of the Holy Spirit. And that's why they spoke in tongues and spoke about the wonderful works of God on the day of Pentecost. Public testimony as they get baptized. Number three, on that, Peter not only gave and ushered them to be baptized, but again said, then receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. They did not wait for that second anniversary of Pentecost to keep telling people to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. We just didn't want to receive the gift with its ribbons. We didn't want to receive the gifts with its wrapping. We didn't want to receive the gifts with its box. We didn't want to say, we want to receive the whole gift of the Holy Spirit that he wants to pour out upon his church today. And as a result, all of them, no one accepted, but 120, all of them were baptized in the Holy Spirit and spoke the wonderful works of God. Number two, not only turn to God, but turn to God's word. So Peter preached, and then he said this following verses 39 to 41. Thank you. Verses 39 to 41, this promise is for you, tell your neighbor. This promise is for you. Tell you, okay, for you, all right. So we got that covered. This promise is for you and for your children. Wow, it was also for them. And to those who are far away, wow, that looks like it's not time bound, distance bound. But you know, when we say far away to those who haven't yet heard of this good news, all who have been called by the Lord our God, then Peter continued preaching for a long time. I'm not going to do that this morning. I'm not Peter. So I'm not going to preach for a long time, but I could. All right. So here we go. Then Peter continued preaching for a long time, strongly urging all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. You want to read it? Corrupt generation. Same thing. Those who believed that what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day, and about, I'm okay with 3,000 to be added to Heights. How many of you would like some 3,000 to be added to Heights? Come on. That means we have to go to LA Fair. That's where the thousands that are there. We have to be visible to the community. July 4th and many of the other activities we have is intentionally not for programming, but it is intentionally strategized so we could be visible to our community. This has walls. But when we go out and parade and worship in the streets, if that's going to happen on July 4th, which we had been doing all the time for many years, but whatever is the new thing that God would want to do for us as a church here in this community, we need to be visible. People need to see us where we needed to be to become salt and light. We don't hide it under the table, but we are visible to the community. So here we go. So second, if we say that Peter preached about turning to God, the second one, turn to God's word. So word up is turn to God's word. Word up?
Turn to God's word.
Wow, what a centrality and common ground of preaching, doctrine, teaching. And that's the reason why later on they continued with the apostles' teaching, because they are being told and pointed to look at Scripture, to be biblical. Not only to be Christ-centered, but they are to be Bible-centered in their faith and following Jesus. So if we want to see Pentecost and the work of grace to continue, we need to point people continually to God's word. Why? This promise is for them. This promise is for the children. This promise, this word is for those who are far away. So you could imagine, it started with Joel, in the book of Joel, then to the present and to the distant future. But it looks like there is no distant future. Everybody is rich with social media. Everybody is rich with different medium of communication. So whatever type of communication is out there, if you happen to be living in the moon, you want to live in Mars, you will be rich. We have satellite. If you have a receiver, you can get the word of God. So God is preparing the world today to be saturated with the word. He just needed, you know, I was telling to a guy who was from Taiwan, who has an inward working with the chips. I said, can you make some chips that would already have the Bible in it? So whether that is in a tank, in a gun, in a computer, there's a little Bible. You know, there's a little thing that can be activated, you know. When you start talking, how can they use different technology to get the word out there? No one can beat the Holy Spirit, of course. He can be everywhere at the same time, the quickest possible. Hallelujah. Why? He's always there along your side. Wow, you know, just imagining that today when we were worshiping, when we were responding, the Holy Spirit there was fanning into flames your desire to be drawn closer to God. So, word up. We turn to God's word. So watch this. Remind me with this little orange Bible, okay, later on. Because there's something to do with that. All right. So the promise has no expiration date. Hallelujah. Never the word of God is outdated. That means the word of God is relevant. Say the word relevant. So no matter what ethnicity, age, background you're coming from, trust the word of God. It is relevant. And sometimes you might not be the expert to explain. Say the word, people. Don't be ashamed of the word of God. God knows how to handle his word rightfully. When you say, oh, nobody listened to me, don't underestimate the power of the word of God. Because why? The word of God will never return to him empty. It will always bear the fruit for what it has to be to become. Number two, why we have to turn to God's word? Because it is unstoppable. And maybe Peter preached a long time. He was unstoppable. He was dealing with the unstoppable word. So I guess, you know, if I am unstoppable today, I go over 12, 1 o'clock, 2, maybe because the word of God is unstoppable. No. All right. I'm safe this morning. Thank you, Jesus. So here we go. So Peter was not just in time that was saying he was continually preaching, but he was handling an unstoppable word of God that not only penetrates the heart, but penetrates every time, every culture, every situation, every nation. Any type of mindset of people can be penetrated with the word of God. Why we turn to God's word? Because there is a setting apart. It says, Peter continued preaching and urging strongly all his listeners, save yourself from this crooked generation. That means the word of God has a warning. The word of God is sounding the alarm and saying, this generation is crooked. This generation is polluted. It's so toxic. This generation, this present time, is so corrupt that the preserving power that you and I would have is only the word of God. When we become salt and light, you see, darkness would never invade light. Darkness will never win over light. So as when it talks to preservation, you know, and salt has a silent work, but it does its saltiness to be able to flavor or to be able to preserve. I felt that when you see some scriptures with this much analogy or metaphor of what the effect of the word of God, it gives us more the hunger to go for it. And so with this, Peter was saying, this is our present world, but take the full armor of the word of God. This is so corrupt today. This is so crooked today, but this can keep you straight. So simple, right? Crooked generation, but this will keep you on a straight path. Number three, there is not only that setting apart, but this is the time when the formation of the church. So when it says that you said, when it says that he was urging to save yourself from this crooked generation, there is a setting apart, because when we say Christians, when we say believers, when we say church, it means called out from. The Greek word is ecclesia, called out from. Called out from darkness into the marvelous light. The word ecclesia doesn't mean any building at all. It doesn't talk about any structure or physical. It talks about people that are called out from to become his people. And with that, the setting apart from the crooked generation was the formation of the body of believers that will be called the body of Christ. So when we set apart ourselves so we can become, remember our kind of a theme here in Heights, belong, believe, become. So we become the body of Christ. Lastly, we're not only being set apart to become the church, but we again believe and is baptized. So continued great commission, the continued word to get people be able to be not only introduced, but being grafted, being adopted into the spiritual family of God. So those who believe what Peter said, were baptized and into the church and about 3,000 of them all was added. Today we pray that God will do a marvelous work in America. You heard about what happened in Huntington Beach. A few weeks ago, there were like about 7,000 here in California were baptized in water. They defied the gravity, all right? They defied the gravity of people being unchurched. Nobody want to go to church, and yet they want to be baptized into the body of Christ. And that is a testimony that God is doing something, even here in California today, of which we are grateful to the Lord. So not only turn to God, but turn to God's word. And next one, third one is turn to the church. Now, because we understand the church is being called out from to become the body of Jesus Christ, that we be adopted into the family of God. So here we go, verses 42 to 45. All the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to fellowship, to the sharing of meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. A deep sense of awe came over all them all, and the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders, and all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. They sold their property and possession and shared the money with those in need. Wow, what a way to see church in the New Testament, in knowing that they cared for one another. But you see, there was devotion. The main factor that undergird the formation of the body of Christ, devotion. They were dedicated. They were committed. They have a single hearted goal to be able to obey the Lord in everything that they do. So we can see why we need to turn to the church, because there is a collective devotion. Then that's a part of worship. They are devoted to the things of God because, as we had been told, our service is worship and our worship is our service. So in everything the church was doing, it is what? Worship to the Lord. So with this, we are being enjoined, invited, being able to be part, to be adopted into the body of Christ, into this devotion. What are those four devotions? Apostles' teaching. So whether you hear a preaching Sunday morning, we still teach the Word of God. This is part of discipleship. We break down the Word and share with you what is that and content in application into our lives, because we know that the Word of God is serving us for a foundation. So we are devoted to foundational teachings of Scripture. Number two, we are devoted to fellowship, meaning meeting one another. And so fellowship is not just limited to Sunday gathering. Well, COVID has one been trying to destroy, you know, during those days, what it is to meet one another. But Heights Worship Center families are creative in being able to celebrate birthday, anniversary, hangout, weddings, you call it. Any opportunity to come together, we celebrate. So you want to celebrate, invite us. We're available, okay? Because we see that not just as an activity. We see that as part of the fulfillment of what it is to fellowship, okay? But then in those fellowship, they also share meals together, okay? They have potlucks. And along with that is the Lord's Supper. Yesterday, we were blessed with the opportunity to be able to visit the Mirandas. You know, we shared with them a few of the blessings of food bank and prayer and just encouragement. But towards the end of our visit, we have communion. We brought communion into the homes. And if there are opportunities and say, Pastor, I want not everybody in my household come to church, but if you would come, we will have communion at our house. We're going to do that. We can have communion as an evangelistic outreach to be able to introduce people to what it is to partake, to be able to be adopted into God's family. So we use even that unconventional communion that we can do in homes and even in hospitals, in facilities where we can bring an encounter to the Lordship of Jesus Christ to communion. All right? And of course, number four, devotion to prayer. Thank you for what we are doing individually. We understand everybody has a different discipline in area of prayer, but we try to be able to bring together prayer activity or prayer gathering with a hub that is happening here, with a soak that we are doing here, no preaching, just worship and prayer, and with online gathering with prayer warriors. So if you want to pray online, you would are unable to come in person for prayer, join us with the online Zoom a prayer warrior meeting every last Saturday in the morning. All right? So we have prayer, not as activity, ministry, prayer ministry in the church that we can be able to participate. Remember last Sunday, Pastor Adon shared with the many opportunities and gifts, and we know that all of us has a ministry of praying for one another. So devotion is being expressed in being in attendance to apostles' teaching, into fellowship, into sharing of food and meals in homes, with communion and Lord's Supper, and with prayer. And as a result of that, there was a deep sense of awe. There was a mindset that came into the first church of honor, respect, holiness. It's just that in every turn that they have to, they sense the presence of God. And so that scripture, a deep sense of awe that had come upon the people, that means more aware of the presence of the Lord. That in whatever they do, they were not controlled with the pressure of this world, but the type of atmosphere that they always sense is the presence of God. So can you reverse that? Instead of being stressed with the pressures of the world, turn it around by allowing the presence of the Lord, the awareness of the presence of the Lord to be upon you. So that's what happened, you know, to the believers after the day of Pentecost. The awesome recognition of reverence and the inspiring work of the Holy Spirit that is upon them. Just reading that line again, a deep sense of awe came over them all, and all the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. So as a result of deep sense of awe, some foot was healed this morning. Some ankle was healed this morning. That's what it is when you have a deep sense of awe. So actually, I saw Giselle moving. How many of you saw her foot moving, actually? I said, is she tired? Oh, now he's stretching. Oh, maybe something is happening on her foot. When she moved that chair, boom, we know, hallelujah, that God was healing her. So when we come to worship allows us to be more sensitive to the sense of the presence of God. So rather than sensing the pain, she was sensing the healing. So rather sensing and be overburdened and stressed with your problem, you are sensing more the presence of God, the glory of God, the awesomeness of the beauty of who God is that allows us to continually pursue Him. So there were many miracles. The atmosphere is set for the apostles to make more, to allow more for the Holy Spirit to work through them in signs and wonders and miracle. So here we go. So don't limit yourself to the opportunity of saying, can I pray for you? If you, as the Lord impress upon your heart to see a need, you can always offer a prayer. And if you would be rejected, that's fine. But you have done your part to be able to pray for somebody. And I believe if we make that as a practice, we would see more of the opportunity of signs and wonders and miracles. We were in a plane. A long story. I hate to be able to do a long story. You know, it just so happened in the plane they know that we were pastors. The reason being we were treated with special way. It was your birthday? No, it was our anniversary. It was our anniversary in the airplane, and the flight steward treated us with anniversary stuff, with cake, with the blessing and all of that. And then later on, Sister Rose shared, prayed with a lady on the window. The lady on the window had a sister in the aisle. When the sister heard we were pastors, she stood up from her chair, came to us, "Can you pray for me?" So in the aisle, in the airplane, I was laying hands. So everybody is seeing that, right? And all of that. And so when she started thanking the Lord and all of that, you know, we leave the results to the Lord. Okay, but the way how the Holy Spirit moved to do a prayer for healing in the airplane, try it. You know the challenge? You know the challenge? I'm a pastor, but I was stretched. I was stretched. It was not my turf, right? You understand that? So I prayed for healing and all of then. Then later on, and when we're done, you know the affirmation of the Lord when you obey Him. And the stewardess was on the microphone. "Thank you for the flight. Thank you for your business, for being with the airline." I'm not advertising the airline, you know. "And we are greeting Pastor Jaron and Sister Rose for their 45th wedding anniversary in the plane." And with that, I say, "Okay, God, is this how you just let people know that your glory is in this plane?" Not to us, because we obey the Lord to pray for. So whatever is your circumstance and situation, okay, maybe you're with your patient, maybe with your client, or whoever that is, you know why? It is a part of the lifestyle of the church. This is Pentecost. You want to operate in the power of Pentecost, make Pentecost your lifestyle. Apostles' teaching, devoted to the attendance of the teaching of the Word of God, devoted to fellowship, meeting, hanging out with believers, enjoying the fellowship with one another, and with communion and Lord's Supper and prayer. So, wow, what a life to enjoy Pentecost 365 days, right? So you don't have to wait for next year's anniversary and talk again about the Holy Spirit. Because you allow the activity of the Holy Spirit to continually fan into flame the fire. So the word up is turned to the church, and that is on fire, that is alive, that is active in doing the work of the Holy Spirit. And lastly, turn to the Lord's table. When we talk about communion, it's not a ceremony, but we talk about the roots of our faith. Who started communion? Jesus with his disciples. So it is a direct. Nobody invented communion. Even water baptism, Jesus has to set the example of water baptism to John the Baptist. So it is not the church idea for water baptism. We follow Jesus' example. Who talks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit? It is not the church that invented baptism of the Holy Spirit. It was Jesus said, "Don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit." That was not the church or people's idea. It is God, right? And so here we go. When we come to the Lord's table, it is a God idea. It is a God purpose. It is a God reason why he said every time you do this, okay, you only not remember me, but you remember I'm coming back again. I'm shortcutting the whole story of communion. Because a lot of exhortation of communion, looking back to the cross, to the Calvary, to the suffering, to the wounds of Jesus, the nail. But let's talk about, he said, I'm going to partake of the cup again when I return. So, meaning to say, when we partake communion, it's future looking. We turn to the Lord's table to be reminded he is coming back again. What an exciting message, right? To see that the Lord's return is very, very imminent, very, very soon. So here we go. Let's read 46 to 47. This paragraph says, they worship together at the temple each day. Wow. They can't wait for Sunday, guys. How's that for a church? It's quite stretching, right? They worship together at the temple each day. Man, they're crazy. Met in homes for the Lord's Supper. They met in the temple. They're still meeting in their homes. Ooh, I can't understand this Holy Spirit. It's too diehard. So they worship at the temple each day. They met in homes for Lord's Supper. And they shared their meals. Oh, I like that one. They shared their meals with great joy and generosity. Let's do that more often. So, wow, what a way of bringing their culture for whatever that is. But whose culture is having food? Everybody's culture. But you use that even for the purpose of the gospel. So you like cooking? Hey, you got a ministry. Invite me. Oh, you didn't hear. All right, okay. So here we go. You know, they met in home, the Lord's Supper, share their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God, enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship. Do I read that right? Each day there was addition. Not subtraction. I need for you to kind of like just notice the words that is jumping out of the pages. Because it was a daily work of the Holy Spirit, and daily there was addition, no subtraction. Okay, let's believe that for Heights Worship Center. Let's believe that for the body of Christ. Let's believe that for the last harvest that is to come, that daily there were people being added to their fellowship and those who were being saved. We turn to the Lord's table because it is an anchor of our faith in knowing that what Jesus has passed on to us, we pass it on to the next generation. The daily worship was a passionate and devoted way. So whether you are in the building, in the church, or in the temple, or in the synagogue, or in your home, you're very much aware of the presence of God. The awareness, the mindset, I'm on a 24 hours worship. I'm a nonstop worshiper of Jesus. That's what the Holy Spirit does to you. Your awareness to be able to continually commune with God. Hallelujah. In turning to the Lord's table, not only partaking of the emblems, bread and wine, but partaking of the word. Partaking of the fellowship and life of the church and of the body of Christ. So now we understand that communion as well is a holy part of the Holy Spirit movement in being able to remind believers of where they anchor their salvation in knowing that Christ has suffered, Christ has died but resurrected again, and he is coming back again. The Lord's table remind them as well of the breaking of the bread, you know, and of the fellowship. When we see that there is a, when we say fellowship, there is a way of interacting with believers. And I believe that the Lord is continually teaching us to do that, not only from different culture, not only from different setting, but in different levels and age, on how we are able to communicate and have fellowship. It was Sister Pressy who brought out that this, you know, and said, we can open our homes again. And Sister Joy at the back, if you want to open your home for a one-time fellowship, okay, of being able to come together to pray, to study the Word, and fellowship, and eat a lot of food. Part of that, okay, tell Sister Joy. So the last time we did, we have gone as far as Fontana. We went as far as Fontana, and then here, Whittier, La Habra, and in different areas, okay? Where else? I think, okay, did we go Glendale? Yeah, we went as far as Glendale. Yes. So let us know, okay? Let us know. We will be able to come and gather together. So this is part of the life that we would want, not only meeting on Sunday, but we meet to be able to fellowship together. And as a result, number four, it says that, let me read this. They praising and enjoying the goodwill of all people. This is part on how the church is favored in the community. That means the rapport, the respect, the reputation of the church in the community. We give back and praise to the Lord for the reputation of the Lord Jesus Christ in this church. It's not ours, but His. So that in PTA, if they ask our church to contribute, if they need help, the PTA of Los Molinos Elementary School ask the help of Heights Worship Center. We are able to contribute because they know we are a church that helps around. So we have that reputation. Now, the committee that is putting together July 4th parade or festival came to the church. They heard the reputation of the Holy Spirit that we are a helping. That means you are a helping church. So Pastor Adon is present in the meeting on how to put together the July 4th parade in this community. Could you imagine that? But that did not just happen yesterday. It was consistently through the years that we are visible by the power of the Holy Spirit that we let our community, we are here. We are the body of Christ. So these are all consistent work of the Holy Spirit, so that when you were still in elementary, you know, in Los Molinos, who was the first student in Los Molinos with the kids? Giselle. Yeah, the girl, she was in elementary. Now she's done with college, now working. But she's one of the first elementary girls. So when we started praying and blessing Los Molinos Elementary School, now it's Newton and Los Altos High School and wherever we go here in the community. We owe it to the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's the reason why I say, God, we know you can do this again. We know that if you, the Holy Spirit is there with us, that there is nothing impossible that we cannot do. Let me read, it's not on my screen right now, but Psalm 78, verse 2 to 7. Write it. Psalm 78, verse 2 to 4, I should say. 78, 2 to 4. Worship team, if they are able to come up and set up here with us. I will speak to you in a parable. I will teach you hidden lessons from our past. Stories we have heard and known. Stories of ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. This is the challenge that the Lord wanted to do for us. We are not going to hide it. So if you see, we will This is spoken in parables, in story, but we will teach the hidden lessons of what we have learned now to the children. We will tell them what are the stories. So God is giving Heights Worship Center. We outline to you what the Lord is doing here in our community, because we all together had cooperated and stood in unity and supported that we can make a difference in our community around. And with that, we say, we have known our ancestors handed down to us. We will not hide these truths from our children. We will tell the next generation about the glorious deeds of the Lord, about His power and His mighty wonders. I have this little New Testament. I know this came from the Gideon's book. But whenever you see a portion of a scripture, you know, it reminds us to pass it to the next generation. It reminds us. So, this morning when I was looking at the shelf, and I have this very handy, and I said, Lord, who was the smallest graduate? Andres? Was that? I'm gonna pass this on to him. He was the youngest graduate. You know, as a symbol that as a church today, we would take the task and we would respond to the challenge to pass it on to the next generation. Okay, what the Lord has done among us, we will pass it on to the next generation. And I believe the Holy Spirit is going to continually equip us. Today, as Sister Anita mentioned, they started already, you know, services at the farm. This is their third Sunday already. You know how it started? Children every Saturday in the farm. Children. But today, third Sunday worship service already. Coming from the children. You know, our mission team went to their farm, you know, and we had a grand time sharing the gospel with the kids. So you'll never know, children, then church. Wow, that's a big leap. That was a big jump. But with what we call faithfulness, with the word devotion, faithfulness and devotion, God is able to bring it to fruition. Shall we all stand together? Hallelujah. Dear Lord Jesus, we come to you in divine recognition, Lord, that you can do it again. By the power of the Holy Spirit, Lord, you have empowered the church with your word, with the gospel, and with the anointing, Lord, that you have bestowed upon us and gladly poured out. There is no reason why you cannot do it again. That right now we open ourselves as vessels. We open our hearts to be your vessel to contain that which Spirit wanted to do among us today. Just say this prayer aloud with me. And dear Lord Jesus,
dear Lord Jesus,
I am a vessel, ready to be poured out
to the nations,
to the generations. But now I come to you. Fill me to overflowing, that I will never run dry. I will never be empty. I will never be burned out, but I will have the resource of heaven and power of the Holy Spirit to be able to share the gospel and the good news to others that need to hear you. So today, we ask the Holy Spirit to make us sensitive to what you are going to do through us. We receive your power. Receive your strength. For this we ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen and amen.
Thanks for listening to our podcast. Like us on Facebook, follow us on Instagram, and subscribe to our YouTube channel. Visit us in person or online at hwcim.org.